Turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Several weeks ago, those of you that were with us, I hope you will remember that we were involved in a series on discipleship. Discipleship. In the last several weeks of that study, we were concentrating on the fact that we have an obligation to walk as Jesus walked. Remember that? To remember the sermon with the big shoes. That's what we're referring to. Our text was from 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. And John wrote, "The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." We concluded that the best way for that to happen is to do as Scripture states and to be in Christ. In other words, it is Jesus that does the walking. We don't have to fill those shoes. We are in Christ, and he is the one that walks. Last week, we considered that the blood of Jesus, being eternal in nature, will never lose its power. And according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse thousands of years after the event of the cross. John wrote, "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." With that in mind, and as background, I want to talk to you this morning about the ABCs of Christianity. Whenever we speak of ABCs, we are usually referring to the basic building blocks of learning. When you were in preschool or kindergarten, the first thing you were expected to learn before you moved on to the higher grades was your ABCs. There were even little tunes that those ABCs were set to in order to help you learn the sequence. Because it wasn't too long after you learned your ABCs that you learned how to put those ABCs together and form words. And then you began to read. As we matured, we learned to mind our P's and Q's. And we were taught of the tremendous need to make sure that we had dotted our I's and crossed our T's. All of it having to do with the basic learning of our ABCs. So it's all about learning. And so too in the Christian life. It's about learning. But it's also about understanding. The ABCs of the Christian life have to do with Jesus. The Bible calls him the Word of God. God's ABCs are found in Jesus. All of those ABCs have to do with our salvation. All of them have to do with the power of God. So this morning, I am sure you will find many other words to go with A, many other words than I have chosen to go with B, and the same with C. But follow along with me, because there is a special direction that I believe that the Lord would have us go, and a conclusion that he would have us come to. And as a result of our time here this morning in the Word of God, I'm going to ask you, before we partake of communion, to make a step that some of you may have never made, to take a step that some of you might find incredibly difficult. A is for the authority of Jesus. B is for the blood of Jesus. C is for the cross of Jesus. When I think of A, for the authority of Jesus, I am reminded of Jesus' words to his disciples in John chapter 10, verse 18. Referring to his life, he says, "No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." Where did Jesus get his authority? From the Father. And he wanted that understood at the outset, that nobody was going to kill him. No single individual or groups of individuals were going to take his life from him. It was at his own volition and under the authority of the Father that he laid his life down and that he rose again. And Lord willing, in the coming weeks, we want to explore that further, but suffice it to say for now that Jesus had all the authority of the Father in order to do the things that he was called to do. Do you believe that? B is for the blood of Jesus. We sang a song this morning, "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." One of the favorite hymns here, because it is so rousing and because it is rooted so deep in the theology of the blood, has to do with the blood of Jesus. The power that is in that blood. We sing, "Would you be free from your burden of sin?" There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. "Would you o'er evil a victory win?" There's wonderful power in the blood. And then to emphasize that power, many individuals, instead of repeating it twice, repeat it four times. And they sing, "There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. It was the blood of Jesus that satisfied the Father. It was the blood of Jesus that secured our salvation. It was the blood of Jesus that set us free. It was the blood of Jesus that stripped Satan of his power in sin, and his power over death. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 make this statement, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, in order that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. Did you hear that? It is through the power of Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross that we have been freed from slavery and freed from Satan's power, both in sin and in death. C is for the cross of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." What power is that? The power over sin, the power over death, the power over slavery, the power over the flesh, the power over our appetite. It is the power of God. Now, when you think of those ABCs, what do the ABCs of the Christian life mean to us as Christians? They should be for us more than mere facts of theology or historical facts. They should be for us something that causes us to be translated from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, to another kingdom, the kingdom of light, to free us as slaves, to literally bring us up out of the pit, the psalmist said, the dungeon, and to set our feet on the rock, to grant to us a new hope. That is to be the power of the gospel, the power of the cross. So when we think of A for authority, Jesus' authority, it's Jesus' authority not just in a global sense, but Jesus' authority over my life as an individual. See, that's where it narrows down and it becomes real to me as a person. It's not just a general understanding of Jesus' authority. It is specifically directed to the fact that Jesus has authority over the life of Tom Ernst. And if you say that you are a disciple of Jesus, you are saying, Jesus has authority over my life. Be careful what you say, because you know the old saying, actions speak louder than words. So we have to ask the question, are we under Jesus' authority? Are we understanding that authority? If we are not under Jesus' authority and we do not understand our responsibility to that authority, then we are in error. And listen up. And if we are in error, we are not walking in the light as he is in the light. Do you follow the logic and the progression of that? If Jesus Christ is not the supreme authority of your life, you're not walking in the light. Do you understand it that way? B would be our belief in Jesus and his word. Are we free from bondage? Beloved people, if we are in bondage to anything other than Jesus, then we are in error and we are not walking in the light as he is in the light. Why? Because he came to set us free. And if we are not walking in that freedom, if we are not experiencing that freedom in every area of our life, if we are still in bondage, we have a problem. Because what we say we believe does not match with how we're living. We're not walking in the light. Was Jesus in bondage? Along with that, we have to ask the question, are we overcoming the evil one with the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb? Remember that statement from the book of Revelation, chapter 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and with the word of their testimony. Our ability to overcome is probably in proportion to our belief. And Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, all things are possible to him who believes. C is for our commitment. Do we take up our cross daily and walk as Jesus walked? Are we truly committed to walking as Jesus walked? There are some things, no matter how hard we may try, that are impossible for us to conjure up an image. When we think of Jesus, it becomes difficult to see him doing certain things, acting or reacting in certain ways. Let me give you some examples. Can you envision Jesus afternoon after afternoon after afternoon sitting down in front of the TV set and watching soaps? Somehow the picture's more than a little bit blurred. There's no reception at all. Now please understand the direction I'm going with this, because I need you to think about how Jesus walked and how he lived. And in so doing, the only way we can really do that is to put it in the terminology and in the realm in which we walk and how we live. Can you see Jesus tipsy? Can you see Jesus drunk? Can you see him stoned? Can you envision him high? Can you see Jesus playing the lottery? Down at the counter at the Circle K working on his scratchers? Beloved people, this isn't blasphemous. This is the word of God that is telling us that we ought to walk as Jesus walked. And if Jesus isn't doing those things, why are we? There's more. Do you think Jesus would be addicted to porn? You know, it seems like the further I get into this, the worse the image. How about cigarettes? Can you envision Jesus with a cigarette? With smoke trailing out of his nostrils? I want to tell you something. When I was putting this together, I didn't want to go here. I really didn't want to go here. Because never in all my years of preaching have I ever preached against smoking or preached against drinking or preached against numerous of the other things that we get so caught up in. Part of the reason for that is because I've never really believed that smoking a cigarette was a sin. I've never been convinced that taking a drink was a sin. I'm still not. The difference comes, beloved people, in the grip that that little thing begins to have on the individual life. When the drinking becomes an addiction, and the person, instead of being called and known as a redeemed, free individual, becomes known as an alcoholic, that's sin. Now, we've got all these fancy terminologies in our society that say, no, it's not, it's a disease. Poor guy, poor woman. No, it's not a disease, other than the fact that it's the disease of sin, and that's what it is. It's S-I-N with I in the middle. I want to drink, therefore I will. Get out of my face. And I'll do it as often and as long as I want. If I become addicted to it, it's nobody's business but my own. Until the drunk driver kills somebody's child. And I believe that one of the places that the Christian church has begun to drift aside from the message that the Lord Jesus Christ has for us is we have become too tolerant of these social evils. Smoking a cigarette wrong? I can't say that it is. Is being addicted to cigarettes wrong? How can it not be? It has caused that individual to become a slave to a little white tube that tells that individual when and how often to grab one and light it up. Is it impossible to quit? No. Is it difficult? Yes. But we have become so lax in our Christian understanding of these things that it's no big deal. And I believe that the Lord is putting a burden on my heart to tell individuals that are involved and are trapped. And I want to tell you something. There are some things that I am trapped in, addicted to. I love to read. Is reading wrong? No. But when the reading consumes me, and all I want to do is read novel after novel after novel, what's controlling me? That's the issue, beloved people. Who is in control? Now, I give you permission, if you want, to get mad at me. Get mad at me. If you will put your addiction at the cross, I don't care how mad you get. All those things that we talked about are modern addictions. And you know what is sad about it? They are modern addictions of Christians. What's the common thread? Addiction. Addiction is giving control to someone or something else. The Oxford Dictionary states that addiction is first and foremost being physically dependent on a particular substance. Secondly, it is being devoted to a particular interest or activity. You hear that? Dependent and devoted. Those are supposed to be verbs that describe your relationship with Jesus, not a relationship with a foreign substance, not a relationship with an interest or an activity. The origin of this word comes from the Latin word adhesere, and it means to assign. Now, you want to know what I see when I read the words to assign? This was not something that was beyond your control. You assigned authority to something in your life other than Jesus. You understand that? If you're addicted to certain kinds of music, you have assigned authority that is meant to be reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ to that CD or to those musicians. It's not what God intended. Can you see the incongruity of that in Christianity? We sang an opening chorus this morning, He is Lord of all. Really? When you take into consideration the things that we have been talking about this morning, is He Lord of all? If you are in slavery, in addiction, the answer is no. He is in Lord perhaps of everything but. No pun intended. If we say we are abiding in Him, then we have an obligation to walk as He walked, free of addiction. That's what He came to do, set us free. And you read over and over and over again in the book of Revelation, to Him that overcomes, to Him that overcomes, to Him that overcomes. What is it we're to be overcoming? Our flesh and its desires. If we say that we love Him, then we have an obligation to keep His commandments. And one of His commandments is to crucify the flesh with the passions and desires. One of His commandments is to put to death the deeds of the body. One of His commandments is to walk in holiness and the fear of God. And yet how many times do we walk out of church services Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and embrace our addictions? The Bible says that whatsoever we do in word or deed, and that's our text before us, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever we do in word or in deed is to be done in the name of Jesus. Why don't you come on over to the parsonage afterwards and we'll shoot up in the name of Jesus. That's anathema. We don't even like to think of the concept. Whatever we do, whatsoever we do in word or deed is to be done in the name of Jesus. And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 and 32, whatever we are to do all for the glory of God. We are to give no offense to the church of God. And I believe that that is one of the reasons why the church, the Christian church, God's church, Jesus' church, has no authority. It is because too many, the majority of its members, do not allow Jesus to have complete authority in their lives. There's too many ifs, ands, and buts. Too many areas where we fudge and we skirt the issues. Too many things that we say, that's my right. That's my life. And Jesus is saying, no, it's mine. I bought it. I paid for it. And that's scripture. Be like the Bereans and go home and look it up. See if that's so. You'll find that it is. Bought and paid for. So whatever we do, we are to do all for the glory of God. To do and be anything less than God's will for us is to have a form of godliness and deny the power. Do you know that that's what's happening? What did we say about the power? For the preaching of the cross is to those that are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is what? The power of God. And what is that power of God supposed to do? Deliver us, set us free. And if we are living addictions, week in, week out, year in, year out, we are contradictions to that word that we preach. We're denying the gospel, its power. So in conclusion, do I see faces of relief? In a few moments, we're going to come to the Lord's table. Hopefully with a deeper appreciation, belief, and confidence in the authority, the blood, and the cross of Jesus. In giving instructions to the Christians at Corinth regarding participation at the Lord's table, the Apostle Paul made this statement: therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he has to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body correctly. You understand what he's saying there? He's not talking about the church. He's talking about the body. You need to be in judgment over what kind of control your body is exercising over you, or you are exercising over your body. So what's the answer? To not take communion? That's really flying in the face of God's grace. That's not the answer. The answer is to recognize what it is that has control. And in partaking of that communion, say, Lord, I want your authority to be in control of my life. I want this to be God. And tomorrow's not soon enough. So he said, for he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Just for your consideration, is it possible that to eat and drink in an unworthy manner is to come to the Lord's table with no intention of changing our addiction? Is it possible that we have not allowed the blood of Jesus to impact our bodies, impacted our minds, yes, brought us into a sense of that glorious gospel, forgave us of our sins, yes, cleansed us, yes, impacted our bodies? Well, beloved people, the ABCs of our Christian experience should never spell addicted, bound, controlled, except to say, I am addicted to Jesus. I am the bondservant of Christ. I am controlled by the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to give it up for Jesus? I've made up little cards for you to fill out. It says, my desire is to be addicted to Jesus, a bondservant of Christ, and controlled by the Holy Spirit. My dilemma is that I am addicted, bound, and controlled by, and then there are numerous things for you to check off, because this is a time for you to be honest before God. Don't lie to him. He knows. And there's even a place in case I missed yours. And then it says, I submit to his authority, claim his blood, and believe that my sins were nailed to the cross. You fill that out before you come. And when you come and you insert that in God's box. And if you have a problem getting it in there, this isn't for me to look at. Don't sign them. God knows who you are. But be honest with it. And bring that addiction to the cross. And in so doing, ask Jesus to get it out of your life. Because, beloved people, it's a curse. So if I could have some help passing these out.